for traveling grace and for abundant mercy. To Brother Minister Evangelist Dr. Shelton Gibbs III, to the elders of this congregation, I want to express my appreciation for the invitation to be a part of this service this day. I have looked forward with great anticipation to this moment. I always enjoy coming to Greenville Avenue for any purpose. Gives me an opportunity to be in fellowship with my friend. I don't know any preacher in the country that I have more respect for than Dr. Shelton Gibbs. So I appreciate his friendship and the contribution that he makes to the body of Christ. I'm limited on time. I recognize that we've got a lot to do today. I'm old and slow. I've always been slow. Now I'm old and slow. Takes me a while to get where I'm trying to go, and I want to be obedient to the time. I purpose to stay in the book of Mark. You can be turning there for all three services. I want to introduce you, or should I say reintroduce you, to a fellow by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. And I preached 10 sermons from this text. I'm going to do 3 of them during today. I shall be reading from the Message translation. There is a word in the Gospel according to Mark. The chapter is 10, and I read for you at verse number 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. I read from the Message translation. They spent some time in Jericho as Jesus was leaving town, trailed by his disciples and a parade of people. A blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting alongside the road. When he heard that Jesus the Nazarene was passing by, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, mercy, have mercy on me." Many tried to hush him up, but he yelled all the louder, "Son of David, mercy, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped in his tracks. "Call him over." Throwing off his coat, he was on his feet at once and came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "On your way," said Jesus. "Your faith has saved and healed you." in that very instant, in that very instant, he recovered his sight and followed Jesus down the road. I would, for a few moments this morning, like to lift up as a topic from which to teach: waylaid by the wayside. Waylaid by the wayside. On center stage this morning, are two individuals of significance: Jesus the Christ and this man that we have come to know as blind Bartimaeus. Jesus journeys from Jericho to Jerusalem. And on his way, he stops through the historic city of palm trees, the Miami, Florida of the Middle East, Jericho, located approximately 5 miles west of the Jordan River, 6 miles north of the Dead Sea, and 21 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And as he was leaving along the highway, he met a man known as blind Bartimaeus. He is thought to be such an unimportant nobody. This man, blind Bartimaeus, is such an insignificant non-entity that he is known as blind Bartimaeus. He is identified not by his name, but by his condition. What a horrible thing to be identified by your condition rather than by your name. Bartimaeus was a man who did not even have his own identity. People never knew Bartimaeus because they were too hung up on his condition. He is known as blind Bartimaeus. And I know you're sitting there and you are a bit confused because you say, wait a minute, he is not known by his name, he's known by his condition, and yet you call him blind Bartimaeus. The only problem is that Bartimaeus is really not his name. The name Bartimaeus is made up of two words in the Greek text. The first word is bar. And the word bar in Greek and in Aramaic is a smaller version of something. It's someone sharing characteristic of something. It is commonly translated as son. So Bartimaeus is literally the son of Timaeus. You got that look. You just added 5 minutes to the sermon. You got that look. You do remember when Peter was in conversation with Jesus in Matthew 16. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah. See, you just read this stuff. You don't study it. And because you read it and you don't study it, you miss some of the nuances of what a text might say. So here we are. Bartimaeus, a person of no significance, a nobody, known to people as Timaeus' son. You know, the blind one. Known by his condition rather than by his name. I wanted to study Bartimaeus in connection with this whole idea of bonding, this whole idea of seeing people and getting to know people. I know this is an unorthodox way of doing this, but this is what you get when you call a psychologist who happened to be a preacher or a minister who happened to be a psychologist. I don't quite do it like everybody else. But we're going to get there. Because in order for us to value people, we have to learn to know people. And we've got to get beyond the labels that we put on people. We fear each other because we don't know each other. And we don't know each other because we don't associate with each other. And we don't associate with each other because we don't know each other. We put labels on each other and we never quite come to know each other because we react to the labels rather than getting to know the person. And if the body of Christ is to be the body of Christ, we are going to have to see every person the way the Lord sees them. Every person you meet is a place where God desires to dwell. And if you could ever see the person who appears to be a insignificant nobody as a place where God desires to dwell, then the body of Christ can truly have unity because it's based on value and not labels. I can say amen and we could go home right now because I just preached, whether you know it or not. But I want to use Bartimaeus to illustrate what I just said. Here, this text introduces us to two tremendous truths, and I want to use those two truths as foundational stones on which to build the sermonic castle. Or we'll have time to do this morning, and I'm going to come back to this text at next service and again tonight. I want to talk about a blind man's devastating problem. And then the second thing that I want to address is a blind man's determined plea. A blind man's devastating problem and a blind man's determined plea. I want to look at this blind man's devastating problem. And the reason I want to look at his problem is because Bartimaeus is more akin to us than we realize. Bartimaeus is sitting by the roadside begging because he had a problem that he could not solve. A problem that reduced him to a life of begging on the streets of Jericho. Bartimaeus, physically blind and financially strapped, is stuck in a job that's going nowhere. He's a daily nuisance. He's a passing thought. He's standing in the way of important people getting where they want to go. And except for the grace of God, I'm talking to those of you who are blessed to have the kind of job where you think you're not a beggar. Even though you and I both know that you're so financially in bondage that you're only 2 months from welfare. Just lose your job. But except for the grace of God, if we are not careful, we see ourselves as here and everybody else here. And except for the grace of God, we could be here and not here. And we pass the blind Bartimaeuses, the insignificant nobodies who don't look like us, who don't talk like us, who don't smell like us, who don't dress like us. And if we're not careful, we can look down on them instead of reaching up to pull them up. Everybody waylaid by the wayside is not looking for a handout. Many of them are looking for a hand up. And here he is, a blind man. He was blind. Mark tells us that Bartimaeus was blind. He's a blind man and cannot see. And in those days, to be blind was a near disaster. That means he's blind. He cannot with his physical eyes see a sunrise or a sunset. That means that he cannot see the waving blossoms on the tree in the springtime. He cannot see the blue sky and the sun resourcing as a strong man run into a race. This means that he cannot see the light in his mother's eyes or the approval on his daddy's face. To spend your life blind, that means that he's never observed even the beauty of the city that he lived in. And to make it even worse, he's not just blind. His blindness has reduced him to being a beggar. For after all, the Bible says he's sitting by the wayside begging. And in the first century, that meant that if you were blind, you had no job. Bear in mind, this is an agricultural society. So if you had a job, it meant that either you were a farmer or a rancher. Do you know how difficult it is for a blind shepherd to look for his sheep? Do you know how difficult it is for a blind shopkeeper to manage his wares? Do you know how difficult it would be for a blind man to be a carpenter? These are the common jobs that people have who can see. And now that he cannot see, he cannot work. And he's also in a culture where blindness is a curse. That means you are just as worthless as a stray dog. You can't work. There is no Social Security or government benefit. No disability fund, no unemployment fund, no trust fund. So the only way you can even have food to eat is you must depend depend on the generosity of somebody who has been blessed. This is why I remind those of us who have been blessed by God, you are blessed and your blessing is not for you. God blesses you to be a blessing to somebody else. And I say to you that God will not continue to send blessings to you that he cannot send through you. Because the only reason God blesses you to have what you have, to know what you know, and to be where you are is so that he can get some glory through you. And here he is, blind Bartimaeus, blind and begging. And if physical blindness is a tragedy, do I have to tell you that there is a blindness far worse than physical blindness? If physical poverty is a tragedy, do I have to convince you that spiritual poverty and spiritual blindness is far worse? You can have, come a little closer, come a little closer. Let me whisper some sober words to your soul. You can have plenty in your purse and have nothing in your person. You can be vogue on the outside and vague on the inside. You can have plenty to live on, plenty to live with. But how many times do we see people leave suicide notes saying they didn't have anything to live for? And what makes the body of Christ unique is this is the hospital for sick people. Everybody you know, every person in your family, every friend, every colleague, every associate that you have some hurts, they have some habits, and they have some hang-ups. And what makes the Church of Jesus Christ unique is that we are a ministry-sensitive fellowship. And we believe that everybody has hurts, habits, and hang-ups. But we also believe that there is therapeutic value in the Word of God. Psalms 107 and verse number 20. And he sent his word and healed the land and delivered them from their destruction. What makes the church unique is that this is the place where we can learn how to overcome our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups. And the Lord brings us to the point in our lives where we, like blind Bartimaeus, are blind, broke, busted, and disgusted. But that's the blessed place to be, to find Jesus. Oh my Lord, isn't that how Bartimaeus found him? You have to get broke, busted, and disgusted. Spiritually speaking, to find Jesus. That's why Jesus would spend so much time on the Sermon on the Mount saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. It's only when you are spiritually blind, broke, busted, and disgusted that you feel that you have a need for God. Oh, affluence can be a bad thing. I know who I'm talking to. Affluence can be a bad thing because it can give you a false sense of significance. You can think that you are who you are and you have what you have and you can do what you do because of your education, because of your connection downtown. And the Lord is secondary in your life because you think you can make it on your own. That's why the poor people heard him gladly, because they didn't have anything but him. And all I'm trying to say to you, and I'm going to be finished in about 5 or 6 minutes, all I'm trying to say to you is that you better be careful with your blessings. You better thank God every day for the stuff that you have, because the only reason you have them is because God chose to bless you so you can bless somebody else. It ain't about you. But when you get to the end of yourself and you can't do anything for yourself, in spite of yourself, you need a power that's bigger than yourself. And if you don't give God the praise and the honor that's due him, he will take your stuff and reduce you to nothing. So you will bow to your knees and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me. A blind man's devastating problem is that he was blind. He was broke. He was busted and disgusted. But you know the difference between blind Bartimaeus and some of us? He knew he was blind. You blind and don't know it. Oh my God. You broke and don't know it. You busted and don't know it. You disgusted and don't know it. And you can never, ever get the help you need until you recognize you have a problem. But notice, as I come to a close, the scripture says that even though he was a man whose life seemed hopeless, I turned my attention for these last few moments to a blind man's determined plea. His life seemed hopeless. He was a man who simply survived. He had no enjoyment and no happiness, no success, no peace, no joy. It's hard to have joy when you're fighting just to survive. People hurried by him. People overlooked him. People looked down on him. People thought him to be significant, so insignificant, they didn't even get to know his name. And then one day, he saw his opportunity. He recognized who Jesus was. Verse 47 says that when he heard that it was Jesus, of Nazareth. He couldn't see him with his eyes, but he could hear him with his ears. That's the next lesson. Hearing your way through change. And the major premise of this whole study is that when you are blind by life's circumstances, you cannot see your way through. You have to hear your way through. That's the next sermon. That's the next sermon. I say, when you're blind by life's circumstances, you can't see your way through. And the reason you can't see your way through is you are blind. You can't depend on what you see. You have to depend on what you hear. And it's not by mistake that the Bible said, so then faith. Oh, somebody ought to know Romans 10, 7. So then faith comes how? By hearing. It's what you hear that's going to get you out of your circumstances. He recognized that it was Jesus. And he recognized who Jesus was. Could it be, he says, that this Messiah that we read about in Isaiah 29 and verse number 18, that would open up the eyes of the blind. Could this be the same Jesus? Could it be that someone who read to him concerning the Messiah in Isaiah 35 and verse 5, that the eyes of the blind would be opened and the ears of the deaf would be unstopped? He's saying in his mind, could this be the Messiah? Oh, could it be that he heard about that discussion one day when men were discussing the miracles that Jesus wrought? And they began to consider who Jesus was. All I'm trying to say is that this man who was blind could see more with blind eyes than his disciples could see with two good eyes. He knew who Jesus was. He says, Son of David. Somehow he heard and he knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was Savior. He knew that Jesus was King. He knew that Jesus was Lord. He knew that Jesus was the perfect Savior. Light for everyone's darkness. Water for everyone's thirst. Bread for everyone's hunger. I said he's the perfect Savior. A solution to everybody's problem. An answer to everybody's question. The sacrifice for everybody's sin. He's the perfect Savior. Hope for everybody's despair. Glory for everybody's gloom. He knew who Jesus was and he realized what Jesus could do. If he's really the Messiah, if he's really Messiah, if he is who I think he is, he can fix whatever is wrong with me. Oh, you're the son of David. I can't fix it myself, but I believe you can fix it. I've heard about the Messiah. And if you're really the Messiah, there is no problem I have that you can't fix. Am I talking to somebody who needs something to be fixed? Do you have a temper you can't tamper? Do you have an anger you can't assail? Do you have lust that you can't leave? Do you have addiction that you can't abandon? Do you have something that needs fixing? Do you have a past that you can't pardon? Do you have a relationship you can't reconcile? Do you have a guilt you can't gasp? Do you have an assignment you can't accomplish? Do you have something that needs fixing? Bartimaeus says, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. I can't fix it myself, but I know you can. You can alleviate my agony. You can be a balm for my bruises. You can calm me in my crisis. You can deliver me from my doubts. You can erase my errors. You can heal my hurts. You can lead me in my lostness. You can meet me in my misery. And you can strengthen me in my struggle. Am I talking to somebody who has something that needs fixing? If you have something that needs fixing, Bartimaeus says,
Let me show you how to get it. Son of David, have mercy. Oh, I'm not in a position to demand anything. Son of David, have mercy on me. When you are blind, when you are broke, when you are busted and disgusted, you're in the best place to cry out for mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. And if I came into the body needing mercy myself, I ought to have plenty of mercy for everybody else who has hurts, who have habits, and who have hang-ups. The body of Christ can never bond the way it ought to if we don't learn how to value each other, because all of us have been blind, broke, busted, and disgusted, and the Lord lifted us. And he only lifted you so that you can help lift somebody else. Next service, those of you who won't make it, you'll need that CD, Hearing Your Way Through Change. And tonight, believe in God for a breakthrough. All right here with blind Bartimaeus, waylaid by the wayside. If you came in here arrogant, the Spirit ought to have convicted you by now. It ain't about you. It's all about him. This is the part of the service that we call the invitation. This is where I get out of the way and let you do business with God. If you will hear the facts of the gospel and believe them, Christ died and he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. You need to hear those facts and you need to believe them. And when you hear the facts and you believe them, you are now prepared to obey the commands of the gospel. And the commands are, you must repent of your sins, Acts 17:30. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, Acts 8:26-39. And you must be willing to go down in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And you rise to walk in newness of life. And the Lord uses you as a trophy of his grace and his mercy. You now have a new testimony. The best thing that ever happened to me was to be exposed to Christ and the Church of Christ. What the Lord did to help me overcome my hurts, my habits, and my hang-ups, he's willing to do for you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you are here and you need to repent of your selfishness in not sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with your family, your friends, and your acquaintances, God has spoken to you. If you are here and you are like blind Bartimaeus, either physically or spiritually, the invitation is yours. Say yes to him right now as we're together. Stand and sing.
Page 365. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man, his thoughts, let him return unto God. He'll have mercy upon you. For our God, he will
a bottle of water. Lord, do not pass me by.
I'm calling, Savior.
Oh, Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto God. He'll have mercy upon you. For our God he will. A bottle of potter. Behold, I stand at your door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open up the door. I will come in. I'll sup with he and he with me. Oh, Lord,
find a sweet river.